We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, brought to you by SoRare. Are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and of actual utility? Try SoRare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect and compete with officially licensed digital cards of soccer players from over 180 clubs at SoRare. That's SoRare.com. I am Adam Zdroik, back for the show, joined by Jordan Cooper and Ryan Belongi. We're talking Saturday's three-game slate. A little smaller than it was last week, and I listened to the show you guys did last week. It seemed like you're stacking one of the big favorites, or you're kind of picking and choosing from one of those teams. This week, it looks like kind of Chelsea or bust. I mean, it'll be kind of hard to fade Chelsea on this slate, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, Chelsea aren't that high scoring of a team. That I mean, in comparison to the other two teams on the slate, but. I don't think people may not realize how much of a favorite Brentford is over Norwich. I mean, we currently have Chelsea minus 400 against Burnley at home. Brentford's at home minus 175 against Norwich. And then we have a pick'em matchup, Crystal Palace at home plus 140 against the Wolves. But I mean, Chelsea's not really the type of team. I mean, we typically target like their fullbacks. You know, center forward, like, I mean, obviously Jorginho's priced up, even though he seems to get a penalty every single week. I mean, for GPP, I mean, even for cash, do you think, Ryan, that depending on Brentford's lineup, that's quite possible some of these Brentford guys actually go under-owned in comparison? Because according to our cheat sheet, which is at RotoWire, go sign up for a subscription, rotowire.com/free trial. You get these. The implied goal scoring for Chelsea is 2.19. Brentford's 1.74, so not like that far behind. Same for the clean sheet equity. So we have Ivan Toney as actually the highest goal scoring odds on the slate at minus 105. Havertz at plus 115. But Brentford, outside of Toney, is pretty much cheaper than Chelsea. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that it's like, oh, just take as much Chelsea as you can and get there. I think a lot of the field may do that, but I'm interested in a lot of these cheaper Brentford options, you know, depending on how they line up, like the Godoses and the Norgards and Janelt and their fullbacks, because I think in comparison to the Chelsea players, I think they're going to be under-owned.
Yeah, I'd agree. I agree. I think they'll be under-owned, partly because their set-piece situation is a little bit of a mess if Mathias Jensen doesn't start, and I don't see him, you know, in the expected lineups. So, I mean, Who's going to take Brentford sets? Maybe Godos, maybe Canos, maybe Janalt, maybe Mbeumo. Yeah, I like Tony, but I think a lot of people will like Tony when they see his goal scoring odds and just a matchup against Norwich. I think I'm a little bit more drawn towards Chelsea than you, and it's almost by default. Like it's a 3-game slate, so it's like we don't have many options, and it's even less so when you look at the Palace Wolves game. Like if Milivojevic starts, you know, that kind of takes Conor Gallagher out, and you don't really want to play Milivojevic no matter what. And then on the Wolves side, João Moutinho is basically unplayable. They have a couple other spots you could maybe go, but, you know, Burnley's kind of eliminated. Norwich, I don't know, they might have one or two plays. So, like, even though Chelsea might not be, like, normally the greatest target for DFS, an implied goal total of 2.2 against like a Burnley team that allows a lot of fantasy points. I don't know. I'm having a tough time not having a few Chelsea pieces in my lineup. But I agree with you that they're going to be really popular. So for GPPs, targeting Brentford or somebody else makes a lot of sense.
What do you think, Ryan, the ownership wise on the Chelsea pieces from like a ranking perspective, because based on positional constraints, I'm going to expect that I think the most owned player on the slate is going to be Havertz at 8,200, only because I think the forward position is much harder to fill this week than the defender positions. And depending on how Chelsea lines up, if they line up with Chilwell and James, I think the ownership on them will cannibalize one another. There may be lineups that have both of them, but they're both expensive, 7,800 and 7,500. But if you're going to play Chelsea, you're going to play, I think, Havertz, because he fills a forward spot first, one of the Chelsea defenders, and then the number three owned guy is going to be Hakim Ziyech in the midfield spot at 7,400. And this is especially so if Milivojevic starts. I'm not even sure if I play Conor Gallagher at 9,100, even if Milivojevic doesn't start. But for our Chelsea stack, the only issue that I have with Ziyech is that it's very rare that he plays 90 minutes. But if he's going to take a large share of their set pieces without Mount in and play 72. Like if he were to play 90, he should be priced at 9,000. So to play 72 minutes, like 7,400 seems appropriate given that he's probably not going to play the full game.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. I think, weird to say, but I agree. Havertz will be the most popular, for sure, of the Chelsea attackers. Yeah, because forward's a tough position to fill. And, you know, he's kind of cheap playing center forward and probably going to play 90 minutes.
You guys talking cash?
It's a 3-game slate. Cash lineups and GPP lineups aren't going to look that dramatically different.
Right. I would even say for cash, yeah. I mean, I think, like, he'd probably be the first forward in my cash lineup. I don't know. It's weird to say, but I guess we can get to that in a second. There are a couple of other options. Yeah. I think, James and Chilwell, of course they'll be, you know, they're going to be really popular because it's a 3-game slate, but so yeah, I think they will cannibalize some of each other's ownership. I think some people will play both. And then Ziyech, yeah, you know, he's probably priced appropriately because he's only going to play 70 minutes. But I think, you know, I think you can fade all of these guys. I definitely understand what you were saying at the beginning of the podcast. Chilwell and James James hasn't taken a set piece since September, I saw. And Chilwell took one the last game, two the game before, and Ziyech took more of them. So, I mean, that's big price tags for those guys. And just back to Ziyech, I mean, we see him bust all the time in this spot. I mean, there's plenty of times when he's going to finish with 7 or 8 points. So I do think you can fade all these guys, and it makes sense, like, from an ownership and point of view. You'll be able to get big leverage if you have one Chelsea piece, for instance.
Well, the issue, Ryan, in cash, since to get to more of a cash lineup, is that if you play Havertz in one spot, where are you going for your second forward spot?
Yeah, so this is a tough one. Like,
there's one person there that I think people may consider playing, but based on lineup construction, I don't think he's necessary, and I think he's overpriced, and that's Miloš Rajička at 8,000 for Norwich, if he's in the starting lineup. But we have him projected in. Share of set pieces, but not a monopoly. He does cross the ball a lot, but Norwich are the second biggest. I know it's a three-game slate, but I don't think people realize that Brentford Norwich is much more of a one-sided game than, you know, you hear Brentford Norwich, you go, oh, okay, two pretty bad teams. Brentford is a much better team than Norwich. And do I want to pay 8,000 for a guy that has very low goal scoring odds, has half the set pieces, possibly good open play value, but lower upside, where it seems like I could play players for cheaper that may have a slightly less floor, slightly lower floor, but a way higher ceiling, way more. I mean, I take a look at that range and I go, if I'm going to play Rajica, why don't I just play Callum Hudson-Odoi at 7,900? And if I'm going to play Callum Hudson-Odoi, why don't I play Wilfred Zaha at 7,500? Why don't I play Mbeumo at 7,200? Why don't I play Edouard if he starts for Crystal Palace at 6,000? And why don't I just keep on going? Why don't I play Ayew then? If I'm going to play him, why don't I go down? And why don't I play Godos if he's in the lineup? Why don't I play, looking through all these, I mean, Pookie, for crying out loud. Like, that's probably not where I'm going to go. So, like, I take a look at all of these players, and I go, what am I really paying $8,000 for? Like, just so I, instead of having a 6-point floor, I have an 8-point floor? Like, is it worth the 2,000? Like, would I much rather have Rajička and, like, the cheapest goalkeeper or a punt defender? Or would I rather just pay down a little and then get a goalkeeper with good clean sheet odds or a defender that doesn't have a 3-point floor?
Yeah. So at first I think I agreed with you that, I don't know. Yeah, I agreed with you that I didn't think Rajička was necessary. I still don't, but I've warmed towards the idea a little bit, actually, because there's not going to be a lot of goals on this slate. I mean, like, his floor, let's just, if he plays 90 minutes, in my opinion, he still has the highest floor on the slate. I don't know, take like the Chelsea defenders out maybe, but like, I don't think there's many, like, okay, if you save the salary, I mean, who are you going to spend it on? There's not like guaranteed points out there. Whereas his like kind of are, and yeah, you might be giving up some upside, but there isn't upside on this slate. I mean, okay, Brentford, sure, but like, you don't really want to target the Palace Wolves game. Low totals in that game. People don't have floors in that game either. I mean, except for Gallagher, if he has sets. Burnley, we said, is kind of out of the picture. Chelsea, there's not really floor. I mean, Havertz doesn't have much of a floor. I mean, but besides Havertz, Ziyech, and those guys, like, where are you going to go, I guess, is my point. Like, it seems okay to just take 10 points from Rajička because you're not going to get beat by goals.
But the point that I'm making is more of a comparison to other players on the slate that you could roster instead. So Rajička is 8,000. Would you rather have Ziyech? Would you rather have James? Would you rather have Chilwell? Like, if I have a construction where would I rather play a 5K midfielder and Rajička, or would I rather play a 5 to 6K forward and play one of the ZH, the 8K defend, 7K defenders? And I take a look at the guys, the Godoses, the Ayews, the, whatever, Edouard at 6,000, and go, if I play Edouard at 6,000, what's that much of a difference between playing him and a $6,000 midfielder? But then my utility spot is now I could play Kanos, I could play Alt Nori as a three defender build. I could just fill so much more spots. When to me, the forward slot is the is the weakest spot on this slate. I think there are midfielders and defenders I'd rather play over forwards. The fact that we're playing Havertz and cash shows how weak the floor on the forwards are. So if the floor is going to be so low on the forwards, I either want to do one of two things. I either want to pay down to get the, if I'm going to pay this for the same amount of floor, or stay in that range but have higher goal scoring upside. So like I don't necessarily care about Rijsica's floor because I need to compare it to that of like Chilwell and James.
Right,
and
but also
yes, Jordan, compared to that, it's not the other forwards that I'm worried about. It's that if I'm going to take, if I have 5,000 left for a midfield spot, do I want Joe Moutinho there, or do I want to just play Godos in the forward spot for the same price and not have to play a Moutinho in my midfield spot? And I think it's better to punt at that forward spot.
Okay. So you, I understand what I'm talking about. Listen, I understand all the points that you were just making, but you just said three times at the end that forward is the weakest position. There's no floors at forward. So if Rijsica is the best play, that makes it seem like you're going to win with Rijsica over those other forwards. I mean, that's where the biggest differential is. I mean,
you're only going to win if he puts up like 15 points. Right. If Rijsica puts up 8 points, you're going to be right. Why am I paying 1,000 for this?
Right. I get it. But I think it also comes down to where we have a slightly different, floor valuation for Rijsica. But I mean, you keep saying how bad the forwards are. Normally you want to play the best one then, especially if you're not like giving up much. Like you don't have to play both Chilwell and James. I mean,
I agree with you. It feels like we're making the opposite arguments. Like you're making the argument in GPP, you would think that Rijsica is like the easiest fade at 8,000. Right?
No.
Okay. So this is the difference then. You're viewing this slate as you're going into the slate building your GPP lineups. It's like just for people that don't listen that often, like you primarily play GPPs. Mm-hmm. I primarily play cash and small field stuff. Mm-hmm. So like your attitude is, so you're, if the fact that you're viewing Rijsica as a quality GPP target in your lineup, you're just going in assuming that there may only be two goals scored on this entire slate. And if Rijsica has 14 points at forward, like he's going to be in the winning lineup. And I'm approaching it from a perspective of there may be four goals on the slate. I'm not sure where those four goals come from, but they're more likely to come from someone that's forward eligible. So let me take a cheap shot at a forward eligible player. And then let me make sure that my utility spot, let's make sure that I'm not punting a defender, right? Let me make sure that both my defenders and my utility get at least double digits. That if Rijsica gets 14 and my forward gets 4, I could still win with the 10-point difference because just the rest of my lineup is so much better.
Yeah, so pretty much, yeah. I mean, I do think Rijsica is like a better cash option than GBP, but I do like him for GBPs too. Yeah, these smaller slates, floors are so much more important. And I mean, Rijsica had 5 shots last week. Like there is upside there. We can't just say that he's not going to be involved in a goal. But like, it just seems like it's hard for it to really hurt you because, you know, there's not going to be 5 other players that put up big scores a lot of times. So like having a big floor, I mean, usually can only help in these smaller slates.
Yeah. I kind of agree with Ryan on this one. Mainly just because I kind of don't agree with the odds here. I think Brentford, I don't know. I do like them at home, but I feel like they're kind of overrated in this spot. Like they're 1.74 implied against 0.83 implied. Just if you look at the recent play and how these teams are playing right now. So Brentford, they're coming off that 3-1 loss against Burnley. And their defense really hasn't been the same with Zanka in the back instead of Christopher Ajer. And I think that's made things a little tougher for them. But if you actually look at Norwich, I know they're terrible, but outside, remove that 7-0 loss at Chelsea, and they were pretty tough against Leeds. They held strong against them in that loss 2-1 last week. And then prior to that, there's a couple scoreless draws in there. So I kind of think like this match is going to be a little more even than the odds suggest. And then just going back further, so Thomas Frank and Daniel Farke, the two managers of these teams, they've been there for a while, so they know how each other play. And the last five meetings between these teams, all in the championship, neither team has scored more than one goal. It's been super defensive. It's been back and forth. It's been close matches. And I think that, like, if you don't want to play and look at the odds there, I think just if this match actually is even, as, you know, recent results, recent history suggests, then Rashica, you know, I do like him in cash games more than Havertz. And, you know, maybe that's not the best move because he doesn't have the goal upside, but I just like that floor that Ryan's talking about.
I would be perfectly fine with that. If you were to tell me that you're going to play Rashica over Havertz and then punt in your other forward position, like, I wouldn't be against that. It's more of the fact of paying up twice for two 8K forwards. Just, I feel like my builds are much better without that. Depending on who you play in your midfield spot, it really comes down to, do you think, with Milivojevic out, do you think Connor Gallagher is worth 9,100?
Yeah, so you're right, actually. It might come down to if Milivojevic is out, like Connor Gallagher or Rashica. I don't know. It sounds to you like maybe neither of them. Yeah, I do on this slate. You know, it's sort of a similar thing. If it was a 5 or 6 game slate, no, but like, these guys are just like free squares. I mean, you don't need the money.
No one's a free square. Come on,
man. Okay,
9,100 isn't a free square. Get out of here.
Okay, he's just like, I don't know. I think, I don't know, on these smaller slates, these guys with the highest floor are almost always in the winning lineup when there's not going to be a lot of goals. I just don't think it can hurt you too much. Yeah, I like it. He might not be worth it, but on a smaller slate where one of the teams is Burnley, you know, Norwich, Brentford, Wolves, Palace. I mean, there's just not that many spots to go. I mean, he's clearly the best midfield play, just clearly. I see what you're saying, but I just think
there's so many viable in cash and GPP worthy midfield plays in the 5 to 6K range. I mean, okay. Most of them.
Okay, like, there's only two players on this slate that have a 10-point floor, I would say. Gallagher and Rashica.
Yeah, and you're paying twice as much for them. So, like...
Right, but, like, all the other players are just going to score the same.
Okay, well, then to make that case, I'm saying I believe the pricing to be much more efficient. I think it comes down to the roster construction dynamic. And I think I'd much rather pay for the higher price defenders as a priority than the higher price forwards or higher price midfielders where I already have options. So I feel like in this 5 to 6K range, these guys are all viable. I mean, it's not like you have to play all of them. I think Trincao at 5,600, obviously, if he starts. I think Olise, if he starts, he's not projected to. I mean, we got the Brentford guys. This Norgaard has been playing much more forward recently, getting, you know, multiple shots. I mean, we look at the shot totals the past couple of games. I mean, take a look. You get 2 shots, 3 shots, 6 shots against Chelsea, which may be an outlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he seems to get peripherals across the board. I mean, it's only in the past 3 games, only one was with an assist. He plays all 90. Right. So, like, I have no problem with him in the same way with Godos at forward. Janelt at 4,600, I have no issue with. I mean, Moutinho's there. He's not exciting, but I mean, you have to say he's viable, but nowhere near where he used to be. And where he used to be wasn't all that great to begin with. You could even take shots on like Lise Malou if he starts for Norwood. I mean, it feels like I could fill my midfield spots with these guys. More so I don't have to play anyone at defender like under 5,000.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I don't want to play anyone at defender really under 5,000 either. But question for you: if replace Connor Gallagher's name with James Ward-Prowse, what would you do in cash? Three-game slate, Ward-Prowse home against Wolves. 9,100.
Kind of making a point there. I'd probably say put him in and forget about it, right?
Yeah, so now I agree with you. If Milivojevic is in, I would never even consider Gallagher. But, like, again, I think it's just we might be valuing these players differently, and I'm not saying I'm right. I think more maybe of Connor Gallagher without Milivojevic out there. Again, like if it was a bigger slate, I don't think he'd be a priority at 9,100. But yeah,
hold on, Ryan. If you play Gallagher in your midfield spot, you're not playing Rzeszczka.
No.
At forward.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. It's one or the other. Yeah, it's one or the other.
And if I had to choose, see, this is where that fine line comes in. It's like, if I had to choose in a vacuum between Rzeszczka and Gallagher, I'd say Gallagher, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you would agree with me, but the sense of the matter is I think there are more midfielders on the slate than forwards, so it may be more viable to have Rzeszczka in your forward spot than Gallagher in your midfield spot.
Yeah, and I like those midfield options that you mentioned. I like all the midfield options that you mentioned. I just think, none of them are guaranteed more than 5 points. Like, it's not like guys we can necessarily count on. I like Trincao. He always gets subbed. He doesn't have sets. I mean, look, he scored more than 10 points one time this season. But I like him. The Brentford guys, Norgaard's done well recently, but historically he's a defensive midfielder who doesn't get involved much. I'm not sure what his role would be with Godos in there. If it's the same, I don't know. I just think there's a lot more uncertainty. I think there are options.
How about someone like James McArthur or something like that? Is he going to be in 3,500?
I mean, I'm not doing that though. That's a center back.
If you have 3,500 left, would you take McArthur or Gudmundsson?
I take McArthur. I don't see a need to play any of the Bullet Burnley guys at all.
If you want to just punt at your second forward spot?
Well, I guess so. I mean, if you're going to punt, you might as well just go all the way down at that point. Whatever green dot is the lowest price and just say, screw it. I can't see Burnley being targets on this slate, no matter where you. I mean, look, Chris Wood is cheap. Like, you play him in GPP, if anything, but these other guys, Westwood or McNeil, it's just like Chelsea's going to have like 70% possession.
I agree. I wouldn't target Burnley either. But, like, to answer your question, I'll take Gudmundsson over McArthur. I mean, if that's the 1v1, I mean, McArthur has like a 4-point ceiling, basically, but.
I'm just thinking, like, if someone put together Rzeszczka and Gallagher in the same lineup, you probably have to punt somewhere. And it's either, looking at like a sub 3K defender or someone like Gudmundsson at forward, something like
that. Well, you can definitely play Godos at forward. I guess we kind of, Jordan mentioned him, but kind of skimmed over him. I mean, yeah, he's not going to play 90 minutes, but 5,100. He has a floor with shots assisted, and possibly a few set pieces. So, like, I don't know. Yeah, 5,100 is cheap. You could make it work that way.
Yeah, so I guess that's pretty much, I don't know, we covered.
Like, is there any cheap midfielders? I don't know. Like, is there a midfielder below, 5K that I mean, you'd feel comfortable?
I mean, I threw up McArthur's, and I can't really be that. It can't be much if I said, well, what about McArthur?
Right.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Is there any reason, if Milivojevic starts, to play him at 3,800? He hasn't, like, he's taken set pieces, but he hasn't been good this year.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of talk badly about playing him a lot of times, but sure. I mean, 3,800 is fine if it gets you the construction you want. I mean, I don't love that he gets subbed around 70 like every time now, but he'll probably get you 5 points. And just because he takes corners, he always has a chance for an assist. But, like, I don't know. What do you think, Jordan?
I mean, he's viable. I mean, he's obviously more viable than MacArthur, so yeah, it works out. But he's not like, oh, Milivojevic is in. He's the first guy into my lineup. It's like no, he's a better play than center backs. Like that. That's the compliment to him. He's a better play than that. But at the defender position, like, really, I don't want to pay more than less than 5,000 for my defenders. Like it really. I mean, it really drops off.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's some, you know, those expensive options are pretty good. So if you do play some of the cheaper guys, you're probably going to need to make up a lot of points somewhere else.
Do you think people are going to realize that that Ait Nouri has been sharing some set pieces responsibility?
Yeah, I don't
if
think
they
enough...
read Ryan's article, they will.
Right. I don't think enough people will realize. Yeah, he'd be one of the first guys in my cash lineup, I think. Is, you know, assuming he starts, he's definitely going to take some set pieces. I mean, probably half of them. And he has open play value too. He likes to cross. He likes to shoot too. Like he, great play. And yeah, he won't be like, people will know, you know, the lobby gets sharper and sharper, but no, he won't be as popular as he should be.
And also Kanos is a much better play with Jensen out.
Definitely. Yeah, well, yeah. When you want Kanos to maybe take a couple set pieces, or else like yeah, I get it's a good matchup, but I think it's gotten risky with the fact that he just doesn't really go 90 anymore. Well, I shouldn't say that. He goes 90 about half the time, but yeah, if he's not going to have any set pieces, it's more of a GPP play.
From his obviously game log, it seems more like that he doesn't go 90 in situations when they're down.
Yeah,
like
okay.
In all the games that he doesn't play 90, it's been games that down, like 77 minutes, they were down to Burnley. 72 minutes, they were down to Chelsea. 68 minutes, they were beating Wolves. Okay,
no,
so
but
maybe
I see
that
what you're saying. Yeah, you make a good point. Like if they're shutting out Norwich, a lot of times managers aren't going to change up the defense. So right. Yeah, that's a good point.
So Brentford being a -175 favorite, I would, if I had to bet on it, I'd say it's more than 50-50 chance that Kanos actually does play 90 this game.
Okay.
Barring an injury, obviously. But even if Jensen is in, Kanos is still a good play in the defender spot, but I like it much more. If Jensen is in, I'd rather play Jensen at 5,900 more than Kanos at 55, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we probably should have mentioned that. Like, if Jensen starts, yeah, he looks good for cash too. Yeah, I agree. And I agree about Kanos. I'm not writing him off at all. It's a good spot. It's a good spot at home against, and he has a floor. He has a floor even without set pieces.
Do you think all this discussion that the most overlooked team on the slate is the third favorite, Crystal Palace?
Yeah.
Like, especially if Milivojevic is in.
50%.
Well, yeah, for tournaments especially. Yeah, you know, people just don't like to play Crystal Palace for one. And then on this slate, they'll be drawn to Chelsea and the other Chelsea, Brentford. You know, yeah, I do. Yeah, I think they'll be overlooked. I mean,
that front. I mean, if that front line starts with Edward, Ayew, and Zaha, I mean, they could all be like 10% owned.
For just like a GPP, just in the situation that, you know, the Brentford Norwich games, low scoring, Chelsea, maybe they only get one goal or something. Crystal Palace Wolves game, so it's lowest implied goal total. What if that game just pops off 3-2? What if you just do like a 2v2 with that match, go after, you know, Raul Jimenez, get Zaha in there, throw in Gallagher. I mean, those guys are expensive, and you'll probably have to find a way to get someone low end there. But
I think it makes a lot of sense, even though
like these defenses haven't played well is what my line of thinking is. So it's right. Like this does have a low total here, but these teams aren't getting clean sheets outside of, you know, Palace against Man City last weekend. But
yeah, I think it makes perfect sense actually, especially like on these 3-game slates, you just don't have as much to fade. You only need 2 games to I don't know, underperform. And then Palace Wolves has an easy chance to be the best game, and add to that nobody's going to play those guys. Yeah, Jordan, like Jordan said, the whole front line on Palace will be under-owned. I mean, people will play Zaha, but the other two guys probably will be forgot about. And yeah, there's such a good chance that that Norwich-Brentford game is low scoring. And, you know, we've seen Chelsea bust in these spots all the time. So yeah, I think that's a great tournament call.
It's also possible that Chelsea win 2-0 and the goal scorers are who says that if Mount is active, like, and doesn't start, like Mount comes in for Ziyech, Pulisic comes in for Hudson-Odoi, they hook up for a goal in the 72nd minute, and you're sitting there, you know, there's an own goal, right, early, and that's the second goal, and literally none of Chelsea gets there.
Yep, it happens all the time. Or like either James or Chilwell does it, and you're going to have them in your lineup anyways with, you know, whatever other game you decide to stack. So yeah, that Chelsea front three, like, yeah, that
it's far to point out that unlike the last game, we didn't have Mount available, we didn't have Pulisic available, Werner and Lukaku were injured and out. So it's like the bench looks like unless they're blowing them out, like they're gonna play as long as they can. They're getting healthier. That, you know, if Pulisic and Mount are on the bench and Conte is on the bench also, I mean, like these guys, I mean, we know Ziyech is probably coming out at 70, 72, and probably the same for Hudson-Odoi. I mean, and it's not a Chilwell or James could be, I mean, if Alonso is available, I mean, maybe who knows what happens here, but I think we've seen plenty of times. I mean, it's very similar to Man City when they're fully healthy of like, oh, Man City are a 3.5 point, you know, the goal favorite. And yeah, they score 4 goals and it's Mahrez with 2 off the bench and coming in the 63rd minute. And you're like, oh, I predicted the score, but like none of the starters got, one of them got there, but like 4 of them didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Mount and Pulisic being on the bench. Yeah. I think it's definitely a downgrade to Hudson-Odoi, Ziyech. Yeah, like you mentioned, Chelsea are going to use those subs, and they're subbing 3 of their guys off, you know, before 75 minutes. It just seems to always happen. So, yeah, there's plenty of ways for Chelsea not to get there. Yeah, makes tons of sense to focus on the other games.
For defender, let's say Azpilicueta starts at wing back again. If you had to pick 3, you got Kanoche at 5,500, Azpilicueta 5,200, 8 Nori 5,000. What's the pick there for, I guess, just in general?
Well, would Reece James be on the bench?
Yeah, he would be in that case.
Okay, well, then I'd probably think that he's going to come on, so I'd be a little worried.
Let's say Reece James tweaked his ankle.
Like, if I was going to get 90 minutes from Azpilicueta at wing back?
Yeah.
I'll take him over Kanosh, but I don't know. I think I like Ryan 8 Nori the best. If those were the three options.
Okay.
But Chilwell would be better than all of them, but I mean, he's obviously more expensive.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Just those 5K options. I don't see how James doesn't start after scoring two goals last week and resting in the Champions League midweek. I think he did. Yeah, he did.
Before the Champions League game, they got in a fight, so he could just be benched. You never know.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why you brought that up. Well, yeah, I mean, if Azpilicueta started and James wasn't in the squad, yeah, I'll take 90 minutes on the wing for 5,200. Absolutely.
He'd probably be just as popular as Chilwell, I guess, in that situation, just because he's so cheap.
Yeah, it would increase Chilwell's popularity too, with no one else to spend for if James isn't out there.
And then goalkeeper, I don't know why you'd want to spend $5,600 on the Brentford goalkeeper, maybe because he's playing Norwich, but you got to think Mendy and cash games, and then I don't know, maybe go for Nick Pope and GPPs and hope he gets, you know, 5+ saves.
Yeah. I think it's more likely that I play Krul than Pope.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, it's cheap keeper. Make an argument for any of them. I'd rather go with Krul too. I mean, like you said, Adam, that game's been low scoring in the past, and I don't know. You know, do you want to play the keeper against Brentford or the keeper against Chelsea? You could argue that Pope might have more upside if you know somehow he keeps a clean sheet. But yeah, just in general, I think it makes sense to pay for Mendy on this slate. And that might influence, you know, some of the things that Jordan was talking about and maybe be going away from Rashica or Gallagher in order to afford Mendy. I don't know, Jordan, what do you think about Mendy on this slate?
I'd much rather have Mendy than have Rashica. I mean, like, I'd much rather have, that's like, that's really the decision, because I'm not paying less than $5,000 for a defender. I have midfielders at 5,000 I can play, and I can play a Godos in the forward spot. So it's like I view Mendy as a goal. I mean, like, so it's like if Mendy gets 12 points, 10 points, a 1-0 clean sheet win, it's like, why do I need, well, Rashica has scored 14. Yeah, then, but if Havertz has a goal and that's how Mendy has his clean sheet win, like, why do I got the points that people have from Rashica, I got from Mendy, right? Yeah. And if I could have Ziyech in that lineup also. I mean, like, to me, Mendy is more valuable than the, like, that's why I said that second forward spot seems like, why can't I just plug in anyone?
Okay, so yeah, now look, I'm coming full circle now. I'm looking at this, at that construction with Mendy and no defender under 5K. I can see Rashica not fitting there.
And you could also see Connor Gallagher not fitting in that lineup either.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you're going to go with a construction like that, it makes sense. Yeah, definitely.
And it's also a construction that still fits to the, this is a low scoring slate. And you look at that construction and you go, maybe it has a slightly lower floor than the one you're talking about, but it definitely has a higher ceiling.
Right, and you're going to make up a lot of the points at defense and keeper. You're going to make up a lot of points on the field if you play Mendy with defenders over 5K. So, yeah.
I thought that's your style. You love paying up a defender.
Yeah, you got me thinking. Yeah, that is my style, definitely. Or at least I like paying up for the highest floors on small game slates.
But those highest floors are at the defender position.
You're right.
Like, other than, like, there's nothing at forward, so why not? If people are going to take shots on in GPP on Jimenez, on Tony, on He-Chan, on Hudson-Odoi, on Zaha, on Buemo, what if none of them score? It's like, dude, you'd rather have the 5K forward that has 4 points and then, like, 45 points out of your defender spots
and utility spots. I totally agree with you. Yeah, the lineup that I was playing Rashica in had Krul at keeper. So yeah, I mean, you gotta sacrifice. Yeah, I'm sort of coming around to. You can go both ways, but
it's a fine line. I don't think there's a correct answer. It's a difference between two good answers.
Right. And basically, the answer is if Chelsea keeps a clean sheet.
Right. If Miller Burnley scores, my Mendy lineup goes.
Right. It all comes down to if Chelsea get the win clean sheet, I mean, that's the lineup. And, you know, Mendy, I think last I checked, had a better than 50% chance to keep a clean sheet. I mean, the stats are just unbelievable. And paying up for goalie makes more sense on smaller slates. So I get it. Makes a lot of sense. Yep.
I don't think I'd fill my role if I didn't mention. So we got Antonio Rudiger here. GPP purposes, obviously only. He's 4,400. He's going to be, you know, under 5% owned. No one's going to look at him just because Chilwell and James are the guys. But he has multiple shots in 5 of his last 6 matches. You got to think Chelsea are going to be in the final third majority of the match. There's going to be a ton of set pieces. He's a huge guy. This is similar to my Shane Duffy call a few weeks ago. Rudiger, not very popular, but possible GPP winner right there. What do you say?
No, I think this is probably better than your Shane Duffy call. Multiple shots in 5 out of the last 6 games is crazy. Like Rudiger actually, for a center back, he probably deserves to be priced where he is on this slate. You know, you got to figure he's going to get a clean sheet and a couple shots. He's a guy that scores goals. So yeah, I like it for tournaments. And I'm not just saying that because you say I like everything, Jordan. That one makes sense. No one's going to play him as like the highest priced Chelsea center back either. They'll go to
right. I mean, obviously he'll be low owned for that. If I'm going to take a flyer on a center, I'm not going to pay 4,400. I would prefer to take Mark Gui from Palace at 2,800 and get that goal. Right. I mean, if I like, to me, those, the center back, like I want to pay 3K or less in those instances. Cause I'm not you're basically relying on a fluke goal. And if you play him in the lineup, you probably play Conor Gallagher in that lineup. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, to me, the most obvious correlation is center back goals are so most more frequently scored from set pieces without deflections. So take the set piece taker. And of course, probably like Edouard takes a set piece on that specific one. And you don't get the Conor Gallagher, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
$4,400 for a center back is just.
Yep. So yeah, just the only
thing. That's what everyone's thinking.
Right. So the only thing I'd say is that if he was 2,800, he'd be 30% owned. And because he's 44, he'll be 5, you know? So it's that's what makes it viable, but obviously it's a long shot.
I'll tweet out the winning lineup once he gets that only goal and the 1-0 win. So I'll send it both to you guys. But
Adam, you have to realize that if Rudiger gets a goal and Burnley score, it's quite possible that me and Ryan's all 3 defenders still have higher scores than yours.
Yeah, but those guys cost 3,000 more.
No, not 3,000 more, but Alt Nuri is 5,000 and Kanosh is 5,500. I Godo scores in the forward spot and then you're dead and then you don't need Rudiger anymore.
I think Godo is going to score. You've mentioned him like 10 times, right? In the last 4 minutes.
Because he's the cheapest forward for a favorite. He's probably not going to do. He's probably going to score 1.8 points and come off at the 58th minute.
Yeah, that is possible.
He had a nice goal last week.
Yeah, the thing with Brentford, they have like 10 midfielders and any of them could come on at any minute. So,
yeah.
But all right, 3 games so, late. I think.
We talked more than I thought we would about a 3 game slate. But like, this goes with the Rudiger point, but it also just goes with everything. Like, these 3 game slates play a lot different than the 5 or 6 ones. Lower own goals and just different things are more like they're more beneficial. You can win these slates in multiple ways. I don't know. Like, I'm not doing a good job of describing specific reasons, but just pay attention. They play differently.
Right. I mean, the cheap goal, like if you could get a cheap goal that's 2% down, you win. Kieran Dowell goes out for Norwich City and gets a brace or gets a goal and an assist.
Right.
And he's 1.8% down, you win. I mean, he's like the only player on the slate that has 26 points.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, well, you didn't have to get the rest of your lineup perfectly. You just have to get enough points in the rest of your lineup.
Right.
So like I get the Rudiger thing. Just that I think I'm more likely to try to find that at a cheap midfield spot or a really cheap defender spot than a guy that, you know, that's a 4,400. So like,
yeah, and yeah, Jordan,
I agree with the strategy, just not necessarily the price tag.
Yes. And Jordan, I agree with you about your point where, well, if he scores, you also might have three defenders that are scoring over 10 points. So it's possible that it doesn't help you that much. Now that's contingent on all three of your defenders scoring double digits, which is, I would say, an underdog to happen, even though they're all good plays. But yeah, I agree with what you said there.
All right. So the goal is to get someone that's 5,500 and have him score a brace. All right. I'll make note of that and I'll be sure to.
You can do it with a Palace forward.
100%.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's one that you'll have to keep an eye on when lineups come out because they've been switching their guys up the last few matches. We currently have Olise in there, but that's, I don't know, that's kind of a guess. As
Jordan mentioned, Olise, he'd be in play too, I think, for cash and tournaments. I'd expect him to take a set piece or two. I believe he's left-footed, and he took a set piece or two the last two times he subbed on.
Yeah, definitely something to keep an eye on. But that's it. Three-game slate, 50 minutes. I think we're good from here. You guys had your 20-minute argument, so we're done with that. But if you have a question for us, find us on Twitter. Jordan is at BlenderHD. Ryan is at Ryan Belangi. I am at RotoZadroik. And to subscribe, rotowire.com. It's a soccer trial, free 10-day trial. You can get everything on our site, but more importantly, you can get the soccer stuff. As Jordan was saying, you got the cheat sheets, you got everything. Projected lineups, you can enter our Discord and just go to rotowire.com/chat and you can talk with us. You can let us know how your Rudiger pick or how your Godos pick went and we will congratulate you. But if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe to our channel. If you're listening, please rate and review. Ryan, you got your big matchup showdown against Got You Beat. Brighton, our home to Newcastle. Let's just do it here. Shane Duffy, captain, goal, 1-0 win. Here we go.
Yep. Tiebreaker for the Saturday showdown. Shane Duffy's not going to be in that lineup, unfortunately. But yeah, good luck to me. Maybe I'll post the head-to-head so people can see both lineups. But yeah, let's go.
That's disappointing to hear. I'm gonna make a lineup for that one and I'm gonna captain Duffy and then I'm gonna beat whatever squad you have in. But all right, guys, thanks for the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks because we got the international break next week.
Thanks, guys.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.